Last week, I was, as Billy covered last week, and I appreciate that, and I was doing a wedding in Lubbock, and this week we were at IHOP all week, and this morning Clayton Harner is, if you don't know Clayton and Gabrielle, come on up, Clayton. Clayton is going to bring the word, and I wanted to say just a quick word about Clayton and what's going on. You know, God seems to be pouring out His Spirit on this body of believers and calling people into the ministry. I don't know if y'all have noticed that. It's unusual. It's unusual to have the volume. I was just jotting down, and I know I've probably missed some, but I was just jotting down some names this morning of some people that we have sent out into the ministry through this, that's come through this body. John Fair, many of you, if you've been here for very long, remember John. He worked with our youth, was a McMurray student. He has gone on to seminary and to ministry. Jason Owens worked also with our youth in college, and Jason is gone forward and is at seminary. Wendell Ferguson, I don't know if many of you remember Wendell. Wendell was a second career guy, was here and felt called to ministry and was in the ministry. Terry O'Rear came through our church, was another second career type person. Terry actually passed away this a few months ago, but Terry was in the ministry the last several years of his life. Ryan Goodwin, cheerleader, that is we've just seen placed in Tuscola United Methodist here about a month ago, has grown up in this church. We're trying to send forth Jordan Payne, but he won't go away. No, I'm just kidding, brother. Jordan has responded to a call of ministry. Many in our college program are feeling a call into ministry, and we'll probably have a chance to celebrate that later. And Clayton, Clayton and I were talking about a couple of months ago, probably, and I could see that God was stirring him. And I asked him the question. I said, Clayton, if you could do anything, and we had not talked about anything. I said, if you could do anything, and money, and time, and education, nothing was a factor, and you could just do anything that you wanted to do, what would you do? And without even missing a beat, he said, I'd be a preacher. And I get emotional remembering that conversation. And I said, well, hey, let's pray through that. Let's pray through that. And so we've begun to start meeting. We've been meeting once a week or so here, and just helping him to discover that call. And I told him I would give him an opportunity to preach and just see how it felt with those shoes on. And so he comes this morning. This is your very first sermon. Come here, brother. I want to pray for you as you bring the word. Lord, it's just good to know that you are still active. You are still working in the hearts, in the minds of men and women. Your kingdom is still flourishing. You still have a plan, and you are still on your throne. And that you're speaking into the hearts of men and women, God, and calling them to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I pray an anointing on my friend and my brother, Clayton Harner. Not just for this morning, not just for this moment, Father, but for the future that you have mapped out for him and Gabrielle. Father, show him clearly, and may you come in power and speak in power this morning. And give him peace, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Jeff talked about getting emotional. I've been holding back tears all morning. I don't quite know what that's all about. So if I flood the stage up here, just bear with me. Been having a word on my heart here just past couple of days, and that word is desperate. Heard it in a song, and heard it through a brother's prayer this morning. I've been thinking about that word since I heard it. Desperate. And that's what I am. I'm desperate. I'm desperate for Jesus. I'm desperate for Christ. I'm desperate for the way He makes me feel, for that being in His presence. I think that's what the guys and ladies who went to IHOP, they experienced this weekend. Once you've just tasted the risen Christ in you, and felt His love, and realized what Calvary is all about, and it's awesome. It's awesome. You just want more of it. You want more of it. So that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm up here. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know that much at all. I'm a nurse, actually, and I like my job. I take care of a lot of elderly at a nursing home here in town, and I like the job. I like the people. I've lost a lot of interest in the medical portion of it. Doesn't excite me like it used to figure out why someone's blood pressure is high or what disease does this. That doesn't really excite me like it used to. What excites me is those people, being able to pray with them, being able to love on them, being able to ask them if they know Jesus. That's what excites me. That's what God has placed in my heart, that desire. So I feel like He's calling me out of that job, and I don't know exactly where He's calling me to or how am I going to get there. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today is trust. It's just, I just know that for a couple of months, I was ready to do whatever He called me to do, and then I said, you know what, God, let me just think about this. Let's just slow down. Let me think about how this is all going to happen. You know, I felt that fire, that passion, that aliveness start to go away. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. So that's why I'm up here talking today. I want to walk in faith. Because I want to be close to Jesus. I'm desperate for Him. I want more Jesus Christ. And I want this church to have more Jesus Christ. I want my family to have more Jesus Christ. I want everybody to have more Jesus Christ. Because when we have more Jesus Christ, we reflect Jesus Christ. We help the ones around us. And that's what it's about. It's about love. So when we come here on Sunday mornings, we come here because we're desperate for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And if you love Jesus Christ, will you just raise your hand? If you love Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Keep it raised for a minute. So I want to... Now, we love Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. If you always trust Jesus Christ, raise your other hand. If you always trust Him, okay, well, that's what I'm aiming to get at. I'm aiming to get like this. God's good. God's good. Life is hard, but God is good, and we need Him during the hard times. Lord Jesus, we just praise You, Lord. You are holy. You are holy, as my brother Clay was talking about. You are set apart as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior. Lord, let all glory be given to You, Lord. I lay myself down. Come and move through me and just do whatever You want here, Holy Spirit. We love You, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So these are all gifts from God. God is merciful. God loves us. He gives us things freely. We don't deserve these things. Grace is His never-ending love for us, the way He turns our souls towards Christ and keeps us and strengthens us. And He just pours that grace down upon us. We don't have to do anything to earn it. Paul talks about that in his epistles. We don't have to do any deeds or works. I don't have to come up here and talk to earn God's grace. He's just going to pour it out upon me. And through that grace, we are saved. We are saved not only from eternal damnation, we are saved right now in this life. We are saved from a life of destruction. When I was saved, I was not just saved in the future by Christ saving my soul. I was saved from a life of destruction now. I was heading down a life of destruction, a life of misery and hurt, not only upon myself, but the ones around me. So Christ saved me right then. And how does that happen? It happened through my faith. It happened through my faith and finally getting up to a point and saying, you know what, God, I trust you with this. I trust you with this struggle that I'm going through. I trust you that I cannot fix it on my own. I hand it over to you. It's yours to do with what you please. I need you. I need you in order to be whole. I need you in order to have life. So through our faith, we are saved by grace. The faith that Christ wants you to have, it's more than just believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He wants something in return from us, I believe. He wants us to give our hearts to Him and to open up our hearts to accept His commands, to accept His will upon our lives. My wife and I went skydiving for our third anniversary, and we get there, and it took a lot of trust for us to do that, but it was trusting people we didn't even know. Trusting pilots and planes, parachutes. My instructor that jumped with me, it was a tandem jump. He wasn't even supposed to work that day. They had to call him in on his day off to come in. He wasn't happy about being there. He didn't even try to hide it. He's just like, I don't want to be here, but we're going to go up out of this plane and jump out, you know. I was just like, okay, why? Because I wanted to skydive. I wanted to see how that was. And that's the type of the faith that I think Christ wants us to have. It's that, okay, God, let's do it, you know, because we want Jesus Christ. We want to know what that's like. James 2:19 says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. It's where James is talking about that it does take more than belief. Belief does not necessarily equal obeying. For many years, I came to church believing that there was a God, and my life stayed the same as soon as I went out that door. It didn't change my life. It did not transform my heart. It just felt false. It took a trust, a wholehearted self-commitment to Jesus. I think Clay mentioned or someone mentioned about giving God our leftover time. That's what I was doing, and that's not the type of God we serve. He wants our time first. He wants to be put first. He needs to be our priority. So much love that He is willing to share with us if we will just put ourselves at His feet. If we will just put ourselves, be readily open to receive it. As we trust God, we are saved. And, well, I talked about this, we're saved from the life of destruction. We're saved now and forever. But we must continue to trust God. It's not a one-time thing that you can just trust God with something and then say, oh, God, okay, God. You know, it's continue every day trusting Him with something, giving Him something you're holding back. No, I forgot to do this, sorry. If I could have the pennies passed out, I got pennies too. I'm not as wealthy as Jim, so everybody only gets one. There's not a baggie with pennies in it. Just get one. Thanks. I'll talk about the penny here. I was going to do this at the beginning, but we're going to do it now. The penny, there's a four-letter phrase on the penny that we're going to talk about, and y'all kind of know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. It's, in God we trust. Well, how that got put on the penny, it was a phrase from the Star Spangled Banner. In the fourth stanza, it says, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. During the Civil War, there was Northern denominations who wrote the treasury and said we should be recognizing the Almighty God in some way on our coins. So the treasury said, you're right. And they primarily did that to show that God was on the Union side at the time. But it had to go through Congress because Congress decided what could be put on the coin. So it took an act of Congress to get that put on the coin. That was back when Congress passed things. So in 1864, it was allowed to be put on the 1 and 2 cent pieces. By 1938, it was put on every coin. So now we have it on every coin that our mint produces. In 1956, during the height of the Cold War, the nation decided to change our motto to "In God We Trust." And if you noticed, both of these times was when the country was in distress, the Civil War and the Cold War. But there's people that don't like "In God We Trust" on our coins, as I'm sure y'all well know. There's been a couple of lawsuits that have went up with atheists and people that say it's unconstitutional for you to put recognition of a religion or a deity on a coin. But Congress says that it's a patriotic act, that it's not religious, that it's just patriotism. But today we're going to use the coins for symbolism. I'll talk about that here in a minute. Just think about the Abraham Lincoln portrait or the shininess of the new penny, but just the "In God We Trust," the word trust. Romans 1:17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And that "has life" is what it's all about. Jesus came to give us life abundantly. He came to give us freedom and joy and peace and goodness and self-control and to love others. Just to have happiness in the everyday, not always trying to strive to do something in this world to try to put us at a better level in our corporations or to get that bigger house right down the street or to have that nicer car. It's just being satisfied in the everyday life, being satisfied with just Jesus Christ inside of us. So the penny, getting back to that now, the penny, there's something, for me, there was something that was separating me from God. I was coming and I was believing, but I wasn't trusting. There was something that I wasn't trusting Him with. And even today, every day, there's something we're not trusting God with. Otherwise, we would be perfect and complete and we would be in heaven. So every day we have an opportunity to trust God with something. So for a moment, does everybody have a penny? I'm going to open the altar here in a minute, and if you feel like there's something that you're not trusting God with or something you want to trust God with, like for me, it was trusting God with this. I want to trust God. I'm coming up and talking in front of people, it makes me a nervous wreck. You know, it's hard to sleep. You're always thinking about, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? People are going to laugh at you. I mean, it's just constant, something running through your head. So I had to trust God that, God, you've got it. It don't matter. I want more of you, Jesus Christ. So whatever happens, happens. So that's my penny I'd laid down today. So if there's something that God's wanting you to trust, this is an opportunity to come and tell Him and do that with Him. If not, just throw it in Jim's money jar on your way out and we'll donate it. But Lord Jesus, I thank You and I praise You, God. I just come and show us, Lord. Show us how we can trust You more. Show us what we can give to you, whether it be worries about our children, whether it be worries about family members, worries about finances, Lord, trusting you with our occupation or just trusting you with the rest of today, Lord. Whatever it be, Lord, just reveal that to us, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
And I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand. Simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so standing on love you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He deserves it. He deserves it. We're just going to go out. We're just going to trust God this week. We're going to trust God every day. We're just going to keep praising Him. Thank you, guys. You guys are dismissed.
And I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand. Where?